Hi, Dr. Metzler.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, great. Great. It was a little hard. I had a little bit of trouble figuring this out, but I got it to load after I sent you a reply. It gave me an easier link to join, so that was good.
It's funny how those things work out. As soon as you can't find something, you end up finding it. I get it. But thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. How's your day going?
I had a pretty good day today. You know, there's no snow. I didn't play golf today, but other than that, it was a pretty good day. How about yourself?
Yeah, it was a pretty good day. As the same with you, and no snow, so that's always a good day. It's funny, a lot of my friends who live in the South, Florida, you name it, they complain. They say they can never come back to New England and whatnot, and they said they couldn't deal with the snow. But I look at their summers, I'm like, oh my God, or just year round, they have a lot more animals, snakes, alligators, you name it. Maybe I'm just a little paranoid, but I'd be terrified to live down there year round.
Yeah, no, I have a place south. We're down there quite a bit. We're there at all times, you know, the winter, and then we're down there sometimes in the summer. You know, the hotter the better for me, but you know, not everybody loves the heat. It does get pretty hot, you know.
Yeah, totally. I understand. So anyways, for you guys who don't know, Dr. Metzler has quite the background. At the moment, he's actually an executive consultant for the Hampson School District. And prior to that, he was a superintendent, and he's had quite the career. And for him to come on the show, I definitely do greatly appreciate that. And I just kind of want to get inside your mindset and kind of see where you started and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I took pretty much a traditional route, as many of us do in the education field. You know, I started out as a teacher. And as a, you know, high school, college athlete, certainly wanted to coach as well. So I was teaching at a middle school and coaching at a high school, and really enjoyed that. You know, and, you know, it's one of those things where that's something I thought I might do forever. But then you start to realize that, you know, district-wide, building-wide, those decisions impact everyone. You can really bring your work to scale, and you can make a greater difference on a larger group of people in an administrative route. You know, many people sometimes stay in those roles, don't like the direction, don't feel like they have input, don't feel like they have a voice. And so, you know, being young and listening to that, I said, I don't want to do this for 40 years. I want to make a difference. I want to be able to help people enjoy their work. And certainly for students and families to have a very powerful experience, whether it's at the building level, the district level, you know, just like you did as a coach. So the coaching really, you know, comes into you know, really handy in terms of, because you understand how to motivate people and how to help people. So, you know, that was really, really what happened. So what I did was, you know, eventually became the assistant principal of a middle school that was, it was really more about behavioral management. And, you know, we had some low level achieving at the time, but it really was, I believe it was an antecedent to the behavioral management. So once we were able to get the school, you know, the management of the classroom under control, we really started to see some diamonds in the rough. We saw some students, you know, that, you know, embrace this, you know, you can get smart, you don't need to be born smart, and, you know, and break some of the labels. You know, you're a tough kid from a tough neighborhood, you're not going to go anywhere. No, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to invest in your education. You're going to listen to these really smart people that are helping you, and you're going to go on to be very successful, which is ironic meeting you on LinkedIn. I have thousands of former students on LinkedIn, which I'm so proud of. I love watching them go on to do all these great things. But that being said, I was the assistant there for 2 years. And then, you know, the district decided it would probably be a good idea to allow me to be the principal. I stayed there for a decade. We did some really incredible work there. Then was promoted to the high school. That was challenging work, because making change in a really high-performing high school that already works is more challenging than making change in a school that is struggling, primarily because why should they listen to you? We already do this well, and convincing people that, yeah, we're good, but we can get better. You know, we're never our best. So, you know, that was interesting work. Stayed there for 5 years, moved on to Southern New Hampshire, where I was superintendent for 8+ years. And now, you know, working as an executive consultant, it's really interesting, because it's like a hybrid position in a lot of ways, because I feel like I'm both an employee of the district and a board member, because I'm consulting the board and I'm directing the work of the administrative staff kind of simultaneously, which superintendents do. But this is just a little bit different, because they passed a resolution, gave me all the superintendent powers to help them with their transition to set up. And I'm currently, you know, trying to figure out what's next. You know, I'd love to come back to Massachusetts. I'd say a lot of my training that was in Massachusetts, I brought most of what I was taught in Quincy by some of the absolute best educators I've ever come across to Southern New Hampshire. You know, the districts that I've been involved in here, very much their success is it mirrors because a lot of the things that we do in Massachusetts, because Massachusetts does a really great job. So does New Hampshire. So does New Hampshire. It's not a knock on New Hampshire, but I think Massachusetts really does it well. And so, that's it. It was really a traditional route. You know, everybody gets to that role a number of different ways. Some people are business administrators, some people are counselors. But I was a teacher coach kind of, you know, that gives you some credibility in the classroom. You know, if you've been a classroom teacher, you move on, you run a building, and then you go on and hopefully run a district successfully. So I'm sorry for rambling, but that's kind of what brought me from where I was to where I am today.
Yeah, no, don't apologize for that at all. It's kind of ironic, or not ironic, it's kind of interesting that you brought up the couple points that kind of are counterintuitive. One, the first off, I think it's awesome anytime you can go into a rougher neighborhood or a lower economics situation and kind of give those kids hope. Obviously, a lot of people in those situations, they kind of feel like education isn't a way out or isn't a solution for them. And I think a lot of times is people just need a little bit of encouragement or a little bit of motivation and guidance. And I think that can go a long ways, just finding one mentor or finding someone to talk to. And the fact that you brought up how you transitioned when you went to a different school district and the fact that it's already running well, it's like, how do you kind of negotiate with people or the teachers or the staff into saying, hey, this is going well, but this could go even better. So I definitely see where you're coming from there. And the fact that you're also a coach goes a long ways. People respect coaches greatly, especially kids in those type of neighborhoods, because sports is pretty much what they know and what they've grown up on their whole life. And as like a lot of other kids, but for them, that's more for some of them to cling on to as well. But if you don't mind me asking, what did you coach?
I coached, the main sport that I loved was football. So I was a football coach at the high school. I coached basketball. I've coached track. It's ironic. I played in the Boston Park League for a really long time. You know, if you take a look, I won quite a few games, played for ADSL out of Dorchester, spent 1 year with Chatham's Row, which were a lot of Northeastern kids. It was interesting. You know, at one point we were playing in Fenway in an all-star game. And I mentioned to the guys on the bench, I said, the kid pitching for the other team, I said, I had him in sixth grade. They were like looking at me like, what do you mean you had him in sixth grade? Because I played quite a long time. And I go, yeah, he was a student of mine. And they're like, no, because they didn't know how old I was. You know, it's like, I go, yeah, I'm pretty much, you know, twice his age. Because I played right up until I was about 40. So it was, it was a great, great, great league. But I think, you know, back to your point. So, you know, the most rewarding work, you know, that I had was really working in urban education and, you know, really focusing on equity, making sure that the resources that you have, that you get those to the people that need them most. And to your point, many kids, you know, they give up because I wrote my doctorate was really on was based on the society reaction theory, which means kids will quit school because they expect society because they think society expects them to quit and go to work. And so I did a whole study on, you know, the impact on the attitudes and belief systems of students when they're put in really good dropout prevention programs. And those are programs that really meet their needs. You know, you handpick the staff. You don't feed into that. You know, you weren't born smart. You're not going to be successful. You really look at it much differently. Like you're a really smart person. You pay attention and work hard. You could be really successful. But I think, and then the transition to your second point, the coaching piece, you know, it's really more about seeking commitment, not compliance. And so a lot of times people, they get caught up in trying to make everybody comply to something. And there's a much better strategy. It's just like a team. You know, if they're committed to what we're doing, your chances of being successful are greatly increased. You know, if you're just basically telling everybody what to do or else, you know, that's compliance. You can get everybody to do that, but that's got a shelf life. Commitment, you know, and for me, looking in the rearview mirror, each place that I left, for it to be successful once you leave is really, really powerful to look back and say like, wow, so, you know, you trained and put a lot of great people in place. And so they were really committed to the work. And so that's what means the most to me is really more about commitment than compliance. And I've had some colleagues that, you know, have done a nice job getting districts to comply or buildings to comply, but it really didn't have sustainability. And I think the sustainability is really all about commitment, not compliance. And I think the same thing is true with students that, you know, back to your original point, you know, students that think school's not for them. And you say, like, listen, stay committed. It's not about compliance. And yeah, there's rules that we have to follow, but be committed to yourself. Be committed to, you know, what this potentially could mean for you down the road. And that's what I mean when I look up and see all these students on LinkedIn that have gone on to have these great careers in so many different, you know, the medical fields and sciences and all these other great these avenues that they've chosen. I just it's pretty awesome. And I, you know, I didn't know how I'd feel when I reached the tail end of my career, but I do know it feels awful good to know that that you're able to stay connected with a lot of these people that were in your lives and how much they meant to you and how much you mean to them. It's really powerful. So those are some interesting points that you picked up on.
Yeah, no, that certainly is. And it's interesting talking to you because I'm having flashbacks as well from high school. I had a principal named Mr. Downs, and it sounds very similar to yourself. He's left a huge impact on a lot of us. Came from a military background, and a lot of times, just to give you an example, if you would catch a kid skipping school, he would actually jump out of the tree, like something we'd laugh about it when we were in high school. We thought it was kind of funny, but and then like instead of punishing the kid, he would just sit down with them, talk to him, figure out why. But yeah, it's just interesting the impact that one person can leave on another. And the fact that you're making putting a lot of emphasis on commitment versus compliance, I was thinking about as you're saying that, and that is a huge difference and a huge factor. And the fact that if you can get people to be committed to themselves, committed to either showing up to practice once a week or a few times a week, I think that builds a lot of character in people. As you get older, there's certain goals you might have, whether it's financial, whether it's careers, personal, family, etc. It's easy to go off the road and get sidetracked, but if you develop those good habits at an early age, I really think that could be a difference maker in anyone's life.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, you know, you can be influential, you can get people to do things, but I'm like, for me, I'm like, you're giving a gift to yourself. Like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to certainly try to inspire you in every single way. But I want you to see the value long term about decisions you're making. And I think, you know, you have real conversations with folks, and you're right. I mean, those are some of those things that happen when you're in school and you remember them forever. You have some of the, really, really interesting events that take place and how people manage them and how they use them as a teachable moment as opposed to a gotcha moment. Right. You know, so it's, you know, I always say, you know, good kids do bad things. It doesn't make them bad people. You know, they give you opportunities to teach. And so if you don't take advantage of those opportunities to teach, you know, those people will continue to make the same mistakes. And so, you know, you'd like to believe that people will process and again, stay committed to themselves and long term, you know, invest in themselves and give back. And that's how people would always say, how do you know when you're, you know, how do you know if you were successful? And for me, I always feel like I know we were successful. We, meaning a team of people that, whatever it's a building or a district, when people come back, you know, whether they come back to give back in terms of they want to teach or they want to coach or, you know, when you have critical masses of people coming back, you know that they're appreciative and they value, you know, what their time there. And so, you know, that's always a powerful moment for people. And I in my own two daughters, I always tell them never underestimate how much a thank you to your teachers, your coaches, anybody that comes into your life, your paraprofessionals, you know, in the cafeteria, the bus drivers, thank them. Just say thank you. It's we take so many people for granted. It's just, you know, it just means a lot. And every time they write that email, they send that note and that person responds, they were like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, it means so much. It took you all of 2 minutes to do that. And it was huge for them. So, you know, you just, you know, it's about giving back. So that's what we all try to do, I hope.
Yeah, no, you make an excellent point there. It's really interesting just because of the fact that I'm kind of reminiscent as you're saying this about my own personal experiences. And I look back at some of the kids, if you want to call them troublemakers, if you will, and I hear about them or even I probably have like friends with them and whatnot. But they're teachers now at high school level or even middle school. And it's just interesting because you would think that that was the least route they were going to go. So it is interesting. I do think people do want to come back and support their communities, whether it's directly because of that or indirectly. And as you're saying, a simple thank you does go a long ways. It's something that might be come across as corny or cliche, but people really appreciate it. You don't get in a certain field for no reason, or if you do, it happens. But generally speaking, the education field, if you had a teacher or principal or someone along those lines who really took the time to meet with you, get to know you. Something as simple as a thank you really does go a long ways.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, I have a really, really good memory, so it's either a blessing or a curse, depending on how you use it, right? So, you know, my wife will be like, how did you remember? You know, and I it was like yesterday. You know, I can tell them, you know, what they wore, what they said, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. You know, we just had so many great moments. And when you throw something back at them on LinkedIn, something they did when they were in middle school or high school, and the fact that you remember it, it's just as powerful for them, right? But you know, those were some great times. And so, you know, whether it was, you know, the fourth and one that we ran some sort of crazy play, or whether it was, you know, the time that someone that struggled with math, you know, passed the math test and the whole class celebrated, whatever, we remember all those times, and hopefully we remember them in a positive way. But like all of us, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, we're making, you know, everybody's time through high school and into college and the careers or military, you know, that we've contributed in a positive way, that we've helped them along the road, that that we are there to inspire, to pick them up, to encourage them to be their greatest version of themselves. And that's mm-hmm. that's what you hope for everybody. It's what you hope for your own kids. It's what you hope for yourself. And certainly if you can do that for other families, that's a wonderful. It's wonderful that a lot of your friends that you said that were probably people that didn't necessarily, you know, always have the, you know, all the breaks when they were younger, that they probably learned a lot, and they're probably sharing some of that wisdom with their students now, right? Some of the mistakes they may have made, you know, they're probably, you know, they understand, you know, and they probably have an opportunity to use those as teachable moments. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you anymore. The fact that you can make an impact on someone, especially as being in a father figure, as yourself mentioning, seeing with your own kids, seeing with other people's kids, it's really is a blessing. And I also think too, if you do have quite a bit of experience with probably being on the wrong side of the fence and then coming into a position where you actually see both sides, I think it almost gives someone an upper edge in that regards. But yeah, no, I definitely think you nailed some good points on that, Dr. Metzler. Before I let you go, though, I was pretty curious. I see right now you're doing a bit of consulting work. Could you elaborate a little bit more on what a day-to-day looks like for you at the moment?
I certainly can. You know, since March 13th, it's just been like anybody else. It's, you know, this whole remote working is, you know, it's been tricky. You know, the consulting, you know, I work with companies. So a lot of times I'll help companies with products that may assist with education. But my primary role right now is really consulting with the board and the district. So I typically will work with the upper level administration in the district. And a lot of the decisions, I'm really proud of the fact that, of course, we've worked on getting students back into class, and we've done safe learning plan, and we spend a lot of time on the pandemic and our response to the pandemic. But while we're doing that, we're simultaneously working on classroom management, differentiated instruction, in a remote business platform, which is all new work. You know, some of it is enhancing things that we already do. Of course, we manage the classroom, we have differentiated instruction, but we're preparing in a way that when we do come back, we know it's a new normal. So instruction is going to look very different. I think the way we manage students is going to look very different. And I think a lot of the work we do, you know, we're going to have to be able to perhaps shift back and forth to remote work and in-person work. So we need to make sure that we have the capacity. And so I do think that there'll probably always be an opportunity for remote learning for some students, social emotional students that struggle, students that might be school phobic, you know, reasons that you can't be in school. I think this has been an opportunity to, we took this opportunity really to build a platform. Our remote platform here is outstanding now. It was okay last March. It's really good now. We took most of the summer into the fall, and you know, I don't believe there's going to be any, you know, measurable damage in terms of learning, but when we do return, it will be a new normal. So a lot of that work really right now is, you know, trying to provide professional development to staff remotely, trying to make sure that our buildings have the support that they need, and certainly are able to shift really quickly, if necessary, in and out of hybrid, remote, and in person. So, you know, that consulting, you know, and then there's the consulting with the board. You know, here in New Hampshire, you know, there are bonds, referendums, you know, ways we have to work on the ballot, those sorts of things, you know, strategies, strategic plans, those sorts of things that you work directly with the board to make sure that the district is lining up. You know, you want the district goals to certainly line up with the, you know, the administrative and building level goals, right down to the teacher goals. And you want to make sure that you have a really powerful student voice, so that the students are involved in a lot of the decisions that are being made, or at least, you know, feel like they've been heard, so that their input is taken into consideration. So there's quite a bit. It's you know, it's, I wasn't sure what it would look like, but you know, they it's much like a superintendent's job, but you know, you're also kind of like a board member at the same time. It's really interesting. So, but I am hoping to transition back into perhaps maybe more of a traditional role in the near future, you know, perhaps in Massachusetts or somewhere else. You know, I consider Massachusetts home. So when people say, you know, what's next, I said, I'd like to come home. So we're pursuing some potential opportunities in Massachusetts.
Yeah, no, certainly. As probably pretty much everyone on the face of the planet at this point, I don't think anyone predicted the pandemic, and more importantly, how to react to it. There's a lot of debates going on right now between school, work, et cetera, on remote learning or being able to work remotely. And I think that's a case-by-case thing. I don't see it being a black and white answer. For example, I think a lot of people stereotype that if you work from home or if you learn from home, it's less efficient. But then I see the polar opposite, where there's a lot of people who have a hard time focusing in person during a lecture or whatever it so be. And the fact that they can watch a video or they can rewind something and rewatch it again or play a certain clip. And I think everyone learns differently. And I think overall, this might be a blessing in a disguise.
Well, you make a really good point there, Matt. You know, one of the things that has happened, maybe by design, not by design, you know, our unions, which are great in terms of protecting, you know, labor and labor relations and those sorts of things, but we've never had cameras in the classroom. You know, this last year now, you know, this has been an opportunity for, you know, people, families, you know, guardians, whether it's grandparents, whatever, they're able to watch and listen as to what's going on in the classroom. And it's no longer second, third hand. They're hearing directly. You know, so I believe the work is more difficult for the classroom teacher than it's ever been. There's more scrutiny on teaching and learning than there's ever been. And so our teachers have stepped up across the nation in these classrooms. It's very hard to have a class, you know, imagine at work, having a camera on you 24/7, every move you make, everything you say, everything you do is being evaluated by, you know, scores of people that have their children there. So it's, you know, it's been challenging. And I know it's, you know, a lot of teachers have gotten a lot better in terms of differentiating instruction. And they become, you know, it's really brought out some creativity. We had a program here prior to this whole pandemic. It was our Blizzard Bag program. I started it back in 2013, I think. And so we had remote days, remote learning, Blizzard Bags, if you will, on days when we couldn't have school, and we were allowed by the state to have up to five, and they would count like a snow day. So remember when you were in school, if you had a snow day, you had to make it up. These days, we wouldn't even have to make them up. They counted as school days. And so, and they were okay. You know, so it varied. Some people were outstanding, and some people sent home worksheets. But that platform has been improved through this pandemic tenfold. And so, you know, I mean, the work that's being sent home, the instruction is live. It's pretty powerful. So that has been good in that regard. Our state, our governor has been great in terms of working with our commissioner and allowing a lot of flexibility for school days, school hours, those sorts of things. So, you know, New Hampshire's been, I think on the front end of remote learning, you know, nationwide, I think New Hampshire is leading the learning in that regard. I know Massachusetts has struggled a little bit in some places, primarily because of, you know, what people are willing to do or what they, you know, or not. Yeah, that program was really good for not having to have a lot of makeup days into late June, early July. You know, but again, now this is the new normal. I think we'll have remote learning. The problem is if it's a blizzard and everyone loses their internet or Wi-Fi, if you will, you know, you're not going to have live teaching. So that's the only catch there. We typically would try to prepare a day or two in advance. We knew a storm was coming so that everyone had the resources that they needed at home just in case they lost their internet or their power. So. It was a good program.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that certainly is. And it's kind of funny. I'm honestly thinking about it now. I'm really shocked that something like this hasn't been implemented before. Just generally speaking, whether we're talking state by state or nationally, I'm sure there's definitely pros and cons. And obviously, being in the classroom, I feel like probably a lot more higher percentage of the country probably feel that's more effective. But I think the fact, especially being New England with all the crazy weather we have, online classes is probably the best way to go. I'm sure no kids or teachers for that matter want to spend extra days in the summer. So I think that's brilliant. But Dr. Metzler, I guess before I let you go, is there any other things that you want to mention or anything else while I got you on the
No,
show?
I thank you for the opportunity. I just absolutely love being able to talk about the trade, talk about public education, talk about equity, talk about the things that we do as a nation for our children. Urban education is so powerful. And so, I just appreciate the opportunity. I certainly would love to come back if I get invited back. But again, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend some time talking about what we all love to do, which is teach and help students be successful.
No, likewise. And I'll definitely have you back on the show. That will definitely not be an issue. And again, guys, Dr. Metzler, he's definitely open to new opportunities in Massachusetts as well. So if you guys are looking for someone with a strong background, feel free to send a message on LinkedIn. And again, guys, if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out to me or him directly. And thank you, Dr.
Thank you,
Metzler, for
Matt.
your
Happy New
time.
Year, and hopefully we'll talk again soon. Have a good one.
Definitely. You too. Take care.